Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Very pleasant good morning to everybody here on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com. It is a great day to be here in our main studios for Halftime for the next 3 hours. Phil Elson standing right next to Matt Jones, who looks kind of ish today. And Kristen Johnston's here in the studio as well. And it's good to be here with you guys. I got no other reason to come in to our main studios today other than to sit next to Matt Jones and watch some soccer once we get off the show today. I guess I could have done the show in the car or something on the way up, but figured I would stand here with you and talk a little sports and then watch a little sports later. Actually, I feel like we got to get out a segment early so we can make it to kickoff on time, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. LBGQT month was last month. And
what's July?
Everybody, July is keep your hands to yourself month. And it's too hot out there to be messing with people. But you got England and the Netherlands going on at 2:00. It's going to be epic. And then you get Colombia, Uruguay. I mean, you honestly feel you couldn't ask for a better day because both matches are even teams, and it could go either way. It's going to be a battle. I think you're in for a treat.
You had a couple of even teams yesterday in the Euro match with France and Spain. Spain moving on. Not so even in the night match, in which you had told us all to put all of our life savings on Argentina. I watch for about...
I try to help the people when I can.
Well, if anybody took your advice, they would have...
That was easy money.
I guess it was. I watched for about 10 minutes. Saw Messi score on a deflection and then figured I was... That made it 2-0. I figured I was done for the night. It wasn't going to change after that. And so now we'll see what the rest of the final looks like later on today. And talking season gets into its second day. Did we have an interesting day one of talking season for college football? That's what July is. You know, this is what... That's what the month of July is. It's the talking season. It's before anybody practices. It's after everybody's lined their rosters up. It's after you've got a sense of maybe what your depth chart might look like. And now you get to talk about it a little bit. And I know that there's some football to be talked about. I know that there's scheming and new players and everything to talk about. But then when you give Mike Gundy a microphone, you never quite know what's going to come out of his mouth. You just never quite know. You know, and look, I said yesterday, Matt, that Oklahoma State is a program that you wouldn't mind emulating at Arkansas. And I think that's in terms of stability, in terms of the man who's been at the top of the program. I know that Gundy's tried to have some dalliances with some other programs as well, but does seem like he's locked into Stillwater, whether he likes it or not. And a program that wins. I mean, they've won over 70% of the games since he's been the coach there. But that also goes along with every once in a while, he's going to say something that just makes you cross your eyes a little bit. And I guess that happens with almost every coach. But it's a little bit different, I think, from some of what he was talking about yesterday, Matt. But now I think there were some things that he said about Ollie Gordon that are laudable. You know, bringing him along and making him face the music, so to speak, and answer questions about this DUI and what it means to him and if he's learning anything from it. But then, you know, as I think sooner or later, if you're on a day where you're just talking for hours and microphones are on you and the cameras are on you, you got to be really careful about the things you say. I don't know if Mike Gundy necessarily was in a very certain circumstance on ESPN Plus's coverage yesterday.
I only heard the little snippet that was maybe 30 seconds, but what I'd say is as a player, you want your coach to have your back. When you make a mistake, you got to be accountable. So you're accountable to your teammates, you're accountable to your coaches, And everybody, you got it. There's a process that you go through. And so hopefully he's doing everything the right way. And it's what, but my point, what I'm getting at, it sounds like Coach Gundy has his back, that that's his dude and they're going to get through it. And I'll go back to what Jimmy Johnson says, the more talent you have, the more chances you get. So, you know, you know that he's an amazing talent. And like you said, Phil, you got to learn from it, grow from it, move on from it. And try to be the best. I mean, he's the Doak Walker winner from last year. I still don't think he's going to play all year. If you were to tell me over under 1,000 yards for him, I'd say under.
Now, why would that be?
Because if I was – we're all independent contractors now, right? And we see this happening, and we saw Rocket Sanders not want to play. Oh, my knees hurt. You know, you see this go down. If I'm a businessman, you're a business guy, there's no reason. You got your money from what you did last year to go this year. You're a running back that's a – I mean, your shelf life is 4 years. There's no reason to take any hits this year. You're going to be a first-round – or not a first-round pick. You're going to be where running backs go. Take your money. Take care of your body. Now, I'm not saying don't play, but I think you're going to see more of that with running backs. You pay a running back. What is there? You lose a couple games. You don't have your chance to win your national title. I mean, you saw that with Nick Smith and his knee at Arkansas. Dude would have played. So I think that's going to be more the norm going forward.
Well, that's one of the things that Gundy even referred to on why he wouldn't suspend him. Because in his own wording, I mean, you're paid a lot of money to play this game now. Now coaches can actually say this to a football player or any kind of a student athlete. And pointing to the idea that if we suspend him, maybe it would be for half a season, then we're going to be hurting everybody else on the team. One game's not going to really mean all that much. But, I mean, he also, if he's a little worried about that, then I think, you know, what you're saying is going to take some time off or try not to finish the season or limit the amount of hits. Then sit him for that first game, right? Because otherwise, his whole plan is apparently to give him the ball 50 times.
Don't let him get
loose.
Which was
part of the joke of, I think, what he was saying. And it's just, you know, it's look, I get super sarcastic about things. I'm a smart ass about a lot of stuff. And maybe in some situations, I joke about things I shouldn't joke about. But with driving under the influence being, you know, a major issue, a major problem in the country. Heck, there was a major accident involving alcohol that killed a draft pick for the Vikings last week and three other guys that had played college football. You know, you think of Henry Ruggs' situation and the, you know, him killing a woman in Las Vegas with his blood alcohol content twice over the limit. You know, and I know you can point to Gordon's blood alcohol content being just a little bit over the limit, you know, four beers, whatever, and just trying to, you know, figure out a way to almost make it not as bad as it could have been because nobody was hurt. It's not the kind of thing to joke about, to say that a punishment's going to be giving him the ball 50 times in a game. You know, but I also think part of this is giving a microphone to somebody that, you know, if you're going to be asked how many questions you think he gets asked in the first day of media days, you're up there for 25 minutes on the stage. All those are questions. And then you go on the set. You go on ESPN Plus, 6 or 7 minutes, more questions. Then the breakout session, more and more. Is you're answering the same question 3 or 4 times, and you're also talking about a guy who you just never quite know what's going to come out of his mouth. And it's, you know, I mean, maybe he did take some of the, he is backing up Ollie Gordon by some of the things he said yesterday, Matt, because everybody's talking about Mike Gundy.
I think that's what he was doing. And you see that with coaches and players, and everybody's a little bit different. You don't coach every player the same. Your relationship with every player is not the same. And it seems like that he had – but it does see as a player from it, you want to see coach have your players back. You know, it's a family environment. And, you know, Coach Gundy's good at – I mean, what's he been there, 17 years?
19. This is the 20th.
That's what I mean. He's pretty – he knows what he's doing. Gundy's sharp. He plays – I think he leans into it, and he does have a little – mouth on him, but I think he leans into it.
Well, players would know what they're getting into when they sign there, right? There's not going to be any surprises.
Hey, I would play – you know, when you start looking at coaches and it's something I always – you know, just kind of outside looking in or whatever, I would play for Coach Gundy. Like, if Coach Gundy was recruiting you, you'd want to talk. You'd want to listen to what he has to say. Like, you don't know where it would go, but if you start going down coaches, but – But I also like Jim Harbaugh. You know, I thought Harbaugh would be a guy because it feels like Harbaugh had his teams, but like it was them against the, you know, it's that group.
But it's also that loose cannon aspect, which, you know, I think those two guys' personalities are quite different, but there is a loose cannon, you know, piece of the personality there. It's like you want to put the microphone in front of that person's face because you expect to get something that's just a little bit explosive. And Ed Harbaugh, he would say plenty of stuff like that. You know, Gundy, this brings back the memories of the I'm a Man, I'm 40 from 20 years ago, in which nobody ever remembers the name of the kid that he was supposedly defending in that moment. They all remember I'm a Man, I'm 40. It's still played 20 years now.
The only thing about Gundy is his hair's got, I mean, the fake hair, it's like, are you trying to be Adam Duer to the Counting Crows? I mean, what are we doing with that
hair?
Is
that fake? Or was it really fake?
I think there's a lot of paint in there. I don't know what you want to say. You got to be natural.
A little just for men to keep the coloring in?
But maybe it's a tax write-off. You know, when you're in front of the camera, you get to cosmetology.
That's true. I mean, it's part of the costume.
There you go,
thinking about independent contractors again, though.
But the hair, that would throw me off. His haircut's just a little too, it's like, come on, Holmes.
Can't hear you, Coach. Your hair's too loud.
You're like Johnny Bravo over here. You know, what are you doing?
Why don't we play what he said, Christian, because I'm sure everybody by now might have heard it. It's been played over and over on a few stations, including this one and on ESPN. So here you go. Mike Gundy on Ollie Gordon yesterday.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08 and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up. And it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it's just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light because you make a lot of money to play football.
I don't know. See, I get what he's saying. The idea of like three to four beers. That's not what was going on in Ollie Gordon's car. You're talking about a man who's now more than 40 years old, who is now in his 60s. It's a little bit different than somebody who was younger than 21, who had opened bottles of vodka and tequila in the car when he was pulled over because he was swerving. So these are different situations, and I can understand a coach being public about his thought process on why he is or not going to administer any punishment towards the top player on his team. But I don't know if we needed to hear in his mind the justification, because that's what that sounded like, justification. And that's exactly right. I mean, the texts come in, JT, the law is 0.08, he is 20. There it is. It's two pieces of the law that got broken. So it doesn't come across good at all. Whether or not we have all done something like that before, and I think most of us have that are listening, if you drank four beers and drove home from a place, have I done that? Yes, I've done that. It's been a long time since I did, because I'm a little smarter than I was 15 to 20 years ago. And I wonder if Mike Gundy is too. I think he might be, but sometimes you're not quite sure.
Eastside Liquor has a large selection of summertime lake drinks. Stop by to pick up some Welch's Vodka Cranberry and Vodka Transfusion, Minute Maid Spiked Strawberry Daiquiri and Lime Margarita, Bikini Island Variety Pack, some Smirnoff Smash Vodka Soda. Try their Gin and Juice Citrus and the Variety Pack by Dre and Snoop, High Noon Vodka Seltzers, Sun Cruiser Iced Tea Vodka, Surfside Charter Pack, Topo Chico Hard Seltzer, and White Claw Hard Seltzer. Eastside Liquor at 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Now, the player we were just referring to, Ollie Gordon, has been ranked as the number three player on EA College Football 25 that put out their top 100 player list earlier this morning. Number one player in the country, again, this is for the new video game, I think it comes out next week, is Will Johnson, cornerback out of Michigan. LSU left tackle Will Campbell is number two, and then Ollie Gordon is number three. There's one Razorback that's on this list, and it is Landon Jackson at number 55. So, these rankings go along people pretty interested in this. Once Madden comes out now on an annual basis, we'll get the same thing here in names right next to it. I wonder if you're ranked, if that means you get a little extra money. Top 10. After Ollie Gordon, James Pierce Jr., defensive end for Tennessee. Caleb Downs, transferred out of Georgia to Ohio State. Free safety, number 5. Travis Hunter, who they have listed as a wide receiver, is number 6. Malachi Starks, safety for Georgia, number 7. Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham is number 8. Quinshon Judkins, number 9. Georgia right guard Tate Rutledge is number 10. Right out of those, Luther Burden, maybe the top wide receiver in the SEC, at number 11. Number 1 in our hearts is anybody that dials in on our hotline for a phone call, 877-377-6963, for calls and texts today. And we've got Brian here with us first. Good morning, Brian. What's going on?
Morning. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in. I've listened to y'all talk about Mike Gundy for the last couple of days. And, I know Mike Gundy. He graduated with my sister at Oklahoma State. So I got to meet him when he was a quarterback back at Oklahoma State. And that was pretty cool. But this is what I think about Mike Gundy. I wish he was at Arkansas. He's a top-level, top-tier coach, and Arkansas would be in a whole new world if he was. Because, he wins.
Well, but I think he's had interest in getting into the SEC. I think that there have been some comments he might have made about Auburn, Florida. So I think he might have had his eye on the SEC for a little bit as well.
Well, that would definitely be a plus for the SEC because he's as good of a coach in the SEC as anybody else in the SEC and better than most. But what I was going to say is the guy's a player's coach. And, when he sat there and took his interview, there's not a sports broadcaster or writer that would down one of his kids, as we all saw when ESPN tried that. He didn't care. He wasn't getting fired because he had the backing of T-Boone Pickens that donated $100 million to OSU because of Mike Gundy. That's what Arkansas needs. They need some boosters that are willing to step up and donate that kind of money. I know Walmart donated, $30 million a few years ago? But, I just want to chime in. What a great guy I think Mike Gundy was. I know that he flirted with Arkansas at one point. I wish he would have been there. I would be in a different world.
Thanks, Brian. I don't remember when Gundy flirted with Arkansas. If that would have been after Coach Nutt, after Coach Petrino, I don't know. I don't know when that would have happened or if it did. But he's a winner. The guy won. He has won at Oklahoma State. And that's, he's pretty much one of those coaches, Matt, that's just associated with a single school playing there, coaching there. And I think he's, you got a chance now in that league to potentially not be the dominant program in the league, but take a first step forward to being that with Oklahoma and Texas out of there.
19 years there. I don't think he'll go anywhere else. I think he'll be a lifer. I think he'll be a Dan Hurley. Once he got there, I just don't see him. If it was going to happen, it would have happened. You don't leave Oklahoma State to go to Mississippi State. You don't leave Oklahoma State to go to Arkansas. In all fairness, Oklahoma State's been a better program since Gundy's been there. I don't know. You don't leave Oklahoma State to go to Auburn. You're trying to think, where would you go? Georgia's not going to come get. Some of those other schools aren't going to get him. He's Oklahoma State till he's a lifer.
I think he's there till he decides he's finished coaching.
Absolutely.
You realize his next losing record will be just the second he's had there.
He's got some Tomlin-esque to him, huh?
Well, Tomlin doesn't have one, but you're right. You're right. He was his first year, but that, usually that first year is going to be the toughest. But he's kept it at a pretty good level for a while. And look, when Arkansas plays them, they're going to run. They're going to run against him. They got a lot of their starters from the offense that are coming back. And I'll tell you what. This front seven is going to be, you're going to get a sense of what you got Oklahoma State game. Because with the top running back in the nation, a group of linemen that I think most of them are returning, you're going to have a sense of what you got. And that'll be, I mean, you know, here's the other thing, too. So Arkansas plays UAPB the first week of the season, FCS. Oklahoma State has their FCS opponent the first week of the season, too. But FCS are not all the same, as we know. And they've got two-time national champion South Dakota State. That's not a gimme. That is no gimme at all.
They'll win that game by two touchdowns.
Well, they probably will.
Yeah. It's still there's still a step up. And I would say, to your point, Phil, 10 years ago, maybe it wasn't a gimme. But with this transfer portal the way it is, you got to know that they lost. You got to think that being a champion at that level, they probably lost half their kids in the portal.
Almost impossible to keep any team together. But one that, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. One that wins at the level that's just below FBS, you'd think that a lot of those kids would get out. But then, I mean, the portal's been open for more than the 2 years, and they've still won back-to-back national titles. But I think we'll see if they get tested that first week. I don't think Arkansas will. That's what I mean about different FCS opponents. UAPB coming in a Little Rock. I don't know if it'll be the same thing as a couple years ago when we had the running clock in the second half.
I honestly wonder how they even have a program, how they keep it afloat, man. That's I'm all for in-state schools having programs, but it's got to be tough thinking about NIL and the haves and the have-nots. I mean, they probably don't have a whole lot to hand out. It's probably tough sledding in that program right now.
I think they got some hand-me-down, I don't know if I'd say equipment, but lockers from Arkansas. I think there were some hand-me-downs a couple years ago when they redid the locker room.
I thought North Texas just took our locker room when they came and beat us. Just like, that locker room's coming with us. Your girl, your locker room, you never had your car. Live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Yeah, that coach is now the OC at Oklahoma. Seth Luttrell. He had a nice little run there at North Texas. And I think his second year as the offensive coordinator now. But I was looking through the schedule here on the SEC. Got my whole schedule grid up here. That second week, I mean, you got to be honest about these things, right? Arkansas is going to be a pretty heavy underdog against Oklahoma State on the road. No matter what happens the first week of the season, the Hogs will be a decided underdog. I'd say touchdown or more, maybe, second week. So it's legitimate to think that could be the first loss of the season. I think most people say it very well might be. I was going to look through the schedule and just wonder when the first loss you could see for many of these SEC teams that's on the schedule grid. You know, I'm starting at the top. Alabama, they've got Wisconsin in Madison the third week of the season. I honestly don't know enough about Wisconsin to have a sense of whether or not they're going to be all that good in Luke Fickell's, I think it's his third year or second year, but going to Madison's never the easiest thing in the world. I'm not going to say Alabama's going to lose to Wisconsin. But then after their bye, the next week it's Georgia in Tuscaloosa. Maybe that's the first loss of the season. I'll give Alabama maybe their first loss in September, which is a pretty rare thing to happen. For Arkansas, by the end of September, I mean, by then, Oklahoma State, Auburn, and A&M. Those are three tough ones. I would love to see going into the month of October at least a 3-2 record. At least a 3-2 record. Love a couple surprises. Man, that Auburn game on the road and then staying on the road in Arlington against A&M, even with a new coach, still that program that just can't seem to get over the hump against.
When Hugh Freeze brought Liberty in here and just smacked us like we were Chris Rock and he was Will Smith, I'll never trust Coach Pittman against a Hugh Freeze team ever. So that's you mark that L every time.
You know, and the year before, Arkansas went into Auburn and was a physically dominant team that day. And then the next year is just a completely, that was the dropping of the rope, or what it felt like. Well, looking at Auburn, they have Cal the second week of the season at home. And if I remember correctly, they probably should have lost to Cal last year in Berkeley. Now they get Cal as an ACC school. I'll say they're going to walk over them. And the Arkansas by week 4, is that a losable game for Auburn? I think it is. I think they'll still be favored. Auburn will still be favored in that game. And then it's Oklahoma the next week. So I'm giving Auburn at least one loss by the end of September. Look at Florida, and we'll get into that in a moment because we've got a break. And we've been going over Florida's schedule a few times throughout the offseason. It looks like it could be the toughest schedule in the league.
Hickey & Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
We are working on getting Grant Hall here on our hotline. I was looking here. Cam Rising spoke yesterday at Big 12 Media Days, the Utah quarterback. And imagine having to answer this question if he would come back for an 8th year. Because he has another year of eligibility. He had the year he sat after leaving Texas. He had the COVID year. It's been a couple injury years, including last year for him. He is in his 7th year of college football. He has played only 27 games. That's it.
Ooh.
7 years, 27 games.
Remember Sam Bradford kind of had a little bit of that. Man, it's tough to be a quarterback and keep getting injured like that. But he's got talent. No question about it. Knows the system. But you got to hope you have a backup, because if you're looking at it right, he's not going to make it through the whole season.
Well,
I'd come back. Phil, the way the money is, what's the gymnast that is not any good, but she's pretty?
Olivia Dunn. She's coming back for a 5th year help LSU defend their national championship.
As the sixth
on the side.
That's right.
Getting more publicity just for being who she is.
Well, it does. It takes the spotlight away from all the other girls that are actually good.
I saw a funny little photo. You know, her boyfriend, Paul Skeens, is now a Major League All-Star. And she celebrated that by having a little setup for him, I guess, in the apartment that they're sharing in Pittsburgh. And Permane Brothers Pizza. She's like, look, I grew up in Pittsburgh. Never had a slice of Permane Brothers Pizza. Wouldn't be interested in it to begin with. If it's not a sandwich with French fries on it, don't get it. There's a lot of other pizza. It's okay. She's new to Pittsburgh. Grant Hall is not new to halftime. He joins us right now. Hey, Grant, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm watching the 37th five-set match at Wimbledon this year, which is the most in the Open era. And so we have raging parity, and the lone American left, Taylor Fritz, is in the 5th set against a 22-year-old Italian named Musetti. Really good match. Fritz won the 4th set to get to the 5th. So hanging on for America.
What kind of parity did you just describe in tennis?
Raging.
Raging parity. This is going to be the first time that those two words have ever been placed side by side, but I like your description of this, which means you never know who's going to win.
That's what people have said about a lot of other sports lately, you know, like football and basketball and raging parity.
Baseball.
And the NFL, too.
Yeah, baseball's got some raging parity, at least in terms of who wins the World Series, and extra layers of playoffs help that. Do you think the college football playoff expanding to 12 is going to aid in, I don't know if we'll ever get raging parity in college football, but maybe a little bit of it?
Well, I hate it. You know, I thought it was fine with 2, and then and 4 was probably too many and so forth. So, I mean, what are we going to do? Have college kids playing 20 games a year before it's over with?
I think wouldn't it be with the winning team or the teams that are in the finals, they would be their 17th game because they're play. Or I guess it could be a 16th game or maybe a 17th game, depending on if they played in a first round. And I mean, look, Grant, it's also a reality where we just had college quarterback say, no, I'm not planning on coming back for an eighth year. So there's up is, it's the bizarro world. Up is down, left is right, good is bad.
Matt, would you enjoy a 17-game season in college?
If you're getting paid, they're making $10,000 a game minimum. Man, it's tough on your body, Grant, to ask these kids to do that many games. It really is. The thing actually, a college is probably better prepared for it than NFL is. You have a lot more players. You have a lot more guys that can do special teams. But man, that's do you think that's where we're going? As far as do you think the regular season is going to be more than 12 games eventually?
Oh, I don't think that necessarily. I mean, surely they've got more sense. I mean, what are we going to do? Start the college football practice in late July or something in 120 degree heat? I mean, it used to be. When I was a kid, it was time to play football when it was crisp in the fall. It was like a fall, an autumn sport. Now you got all this summer heat. Wearing guys out before they ever start playing.
Well, Grant, also, too, when you were growing up, if I'm just going to a different sport, if you were in Major League Baseball, you had 16 teams, and the team that won the league in the regular season went right to the World Series.
Yeah, that's right.
But now
one winner, just like the SEC, is structured now, right? No division,
right? But it made sense as to who's playing. There was no such thing as playoffs. You had that in the NBA, you had that in hockey, you had that in football.
Playoffs. Talking about playoffs.
Well done. I hope we're recording that. We can use that as an intro for you next week. But look at what you got here in baseball and even in the NFL in some cases, or it didn't happen in the NBA this year. There's some seasons now where you at the end, you're like, that's the team that won the championship? Like, this is the team that wins, a wild card winner, something like that. We're at the level now in college football. Every year now, you can pretty much know the team that wins the championship, that was the best team, probably in the regular season as well. And that's what I'm hitting on. It's like, when you talk about parity, there maybe has not as much regular season parity like in baseball or in college football or even in the NFL. But once you get to the playoffs, like, that's the thing that brings everybody back, not to being even, but it's a little bit of an equalizer, just extra layers of playoffs. And for me, I mean, that will lead to some parity in college football to where it doesn't feel as chalky.
Well, it's programming. It's TV. It's selling soap, right? They love this. The more games, the better, right?
Well, we're all programming now. I mean, that's what sports have turned into, right?
What is your thought, Grant? We haven't had you on with the Coach Gundy thing. And do you think if this was 20 years ago that kid would be suspended for a game? I know every coach handles everything a little bit different, and he's a player's guy. But do you think it sets a bad example that this is acceptable way to behave?
Well, let's go back a long time. I remember one time when Joe Namath was suspended for 2 games, I think it was for alcohol, if I remember, by Bear Bryant. And Bear Bryant suspended him for the bowl game and the first game of the next year, I think. And on his staff, Gene Stallings, who later went on to become Texas A&M's football coach, voted to get rid of him completely. And he said, "Coach Bryant, if it had been me, you'd have kicked me off the team." So some guys are treated differently from others. But I don't know. I mean, all I know is that everybody I talk to says that the Arkansas-Oklahoma State game is the whole key to this season. And Matt, I mean, not that, Matt, it's one game, but a lot of times a team, if it loses that game early, can lose a lot of confidence when you think you're better than that. Yeah, I mean, do you agree with that?
It adds it. Well, yeah, I think the room for improvement from week one to week three is a real thing. So I'm glad we're getting them week two.
And that's why I don't think it's the most important game of the season. It's just that's the first one that's on the schedule. You're like, look at who you're playing here. They could expose you if you're not ready or if you're not physical enough. It's just that's the game that I feel will show you. Like what you're saying, Matt, all that improvement between week one and week three, that's the game that's going to show you where you need to improve in any facet.
Yeah, and you can get ambushed over there in Stillwater. I mean, Jimmy Johnson worked really hard to get a game over there when Arkansas was used to just playing Oklahoma State in the state of Arkansas. And, you know, so, I mean, that was a long time ago, obviously. But I think you'll find a very energetic fan base over there at Stillwater that day.
Hey, did I hear this right, that Keegan Bradley is going to be the next captain of the, is it the Ryder Cup or the President Cup, and is it at Bethpage Black? Or do you like the fact that Keegan, because I thought Tiger was going to be the next captain, but do you like the fact that Keegan Bradley's our captain?
Well, I watched the press conference yesterday and kind of warmed up to it after watching him. You know, it means so much to this guy. He was left off the team 2-3 times when he really wanted to go. He came back from a losing Ryder Cup experience as a player and never opened his player luggage. You know, he's never going to open it until they win one. And so I think that resonated with those guys. They thought Tiger was going to do it. And I think Tiger, besides having all this other responsibility right now, probably would like to be the guy to be the first captain to win on the road in 34 years in 2027. I kind of think that might be his goal, you know.
He's a little bit of a competitor, too.
Yeah. And, you know, he didn't have a great Ryder Cup record, but they say it means a lot to him. And I like Keegan Bradley. And, he played 25 miles away at St. John's from Bethpage. He's a New England guy. And in that sense, it's going to be a rabid fan base up there, as rabid as it can be for golf. So I think it's pretty good. I like the idea, too, of kind of getting away from the old boy network. You know, the 48, 50, 52-year-old vice captain, he's going to have younger vice captains, maybe put some guys in the pipeline that will be captains, kind of like what Europe's been doing.
Are you excited for the All-Star game, Grant? I that used to be something that I would plan, like a 3-day deal around. You know, I loved working in minor leagues that would have the day off, you know, so that everybody could watch the All-Star game. I mean, I never missed one as a kid. And to be honest now, I don't feel the same way about the All-Star game as I used to. Maybe that's getting a little bit older and there's other things to spend your time on. But that used to me, I mean, there's a reason they call it the midseason classic, and it was my biggest event of the summer. What do you feel about it now?
Yeah, I'm not as interested in it as we've evolved to a point where it's not so much of a competition. You know, at one time, there was a big rivalry between the National and American Leagues. This was before interleague play and all that, and a lot of pride to it. Now it's just a show. I mean, I thought it was interesting, Phil. They've gotten six guys so far to do the home run derby out of eight. Can they not find anybody else that wants to do it? Mm-hmm. I mean, and like I saw last night, Devers, Boston has decided that he will not play in the All-Star game because he's got a sore shoulder. Well, he went 2-for-4 last night with 3 RBIs. He's got 21 homers, 58 runs batted in, but the poor thing has a sore shoulder and can't play in the All-Star game. I mean, come on, you know? I mean, that's why it's not as big a deal anymore.
Yeah, they've even tried to get – yeah, that's true. Like, can you imagine, just pick a random National League player out of the 60s out of the blue. Could you picture, Willie Mays, I can't play because my shoulder is just a little bit sore in this game in which – We definitely have the American leaguers in our cross eyes. Like, you're right. There was a big rivalry between those leagues. It's not the same anymore. It's the same league now, essentially. That's why at some point we're going to go to Eastern and Western Conference, Grant. I feel pretty confident about that.
Interesting. Hey, Dallas Keuchel got 4 1/3 scoreless the other night from Milwaukee in a game they won over the Dodgers. And Kerstad's hitting .304 for Baltimore. And speaking of Milwaukee, as I just was a minute ago, Stanley Amude signs a 2-year deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. So, in the summertime, you're kind of piecemealing things together of interest, maybe involving former Razorbacks. I saw where Stanley Redwine, the Kansas track coach, is coaching the United States men's Olympic team. And there will be a great representation from Arkansas on the men's and women's Olympic team. So I'm looking forward to Paris. Very envious of Alyssa getting to go there. In fact, I saw Mike Kaywood last night, and he told me I think they've got somebody that's going to cover the golf team. The Arkansas golf team through the years, they now have put Gabby Lopez and Maria Fassi and Esther Varea on the men's side. Those are all former racebacks playing in the Olympics this year.
Well, we'll certainly be paying attention, Grant, and we'll make sure to bring it up when we have you here on Wednesday. Thanks, Grant. We got to run.
Okay, see you guys.
Grant Hall with us each Wednesday on Halftime. 877-377-6963. If you want to call or text us, we'll be back in just a minute.
Oh, come on, guys. It's so simple. Maybe you need a refresher course. It's all ball bearings nowadays.
This is Halftime.
You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
Into our third hour, Halftime on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. Phil Ellison, Matt Jones, Christian Johnson. With you for another 60 minutes. No guests, just you and us, so we can get through your texts, we can take your phone calls, anything else you got in matter. And that means, Matt, we are 59 minutes away from kickoff of England-Netherlands.
Cody Gapko, Liverpoolian, he's starting for the Netherlands. Virgil van Dijk, I already talked about. He's starting. Memphis Depay, he has played in the Premier League.
They usually get the starting lineups out an hour before?
Usually it's 45 minutes. Phil Foden and Jude Bellingham, there you go. You got Declan Rice sitting a little bit deeper. And what they're doing, England's doing this little 3-4-2-1, and it's really like a 5-3-1. You know, it's like you get Kyle Walker, you get Kieran Trippier, and you get Bukayo Saka. But it's speed on the outsides. It's Tyreek Hill. It's Antonio Brown going on the outsides. And then you got a midfield, Jude Bellingham. He's just as good as anyone. The one thing I don't like what England does, which they can change the thing, they leave Harry Kane up there by himself. He needs help. You got to have him have a link-up player. He's so good without the ball, and he's so good passing the ball as well, but they just have him being a striker that comes back too much. He needs somebody. If it's Ivan Toney, if it's Bowen, whoever you're going to use, he needs a partner up there it works better when you got somebody.
Hey, see soccer. Do you see this over? Do you feel the excitement that's sort of being generated across the table from you right now?
I do.
He's starting to, he's not at 11 yet, but he's
rub off on me.
He's building up. He's right now at like a 6 out of 10. This is the way I get, just like, you know, before, like 30 minutes before pregame of baseball starts or football starts. It's, you got to, you know, psych yourself up. But in some cases, you don't really need to psych yourself up. Just the event does it for you. I can feel this excitement.
This is their lineup. This is the formation they played in the last game. They didn't do this in the pool play. And so you don't want to give them stuff on film or whatever. But this is their best lineup. Kyle Walker, just as good as anybody. That's Darrell Revis right there. If you're talking about locking people up with his speed,
so they put him on an island.
He can guard. Yeah, he'll guard their best player. But the thing with the Netherlands, you look at their lineup. They're a 4-3-3. They're so interchangeable. They're so scared. You don't just guard one guy, because they're weaving and they're going. They're bringing one to get your eyes, and then bringing somebody behind you. The Netherlands are tough, man. They're going to be, as far as a system quarterback, as far as a system running your system and having an identity, the Netherlands, we know exactly who they are. They're going to be tough to beat. They have talent, too. That's the thing. You know, they got guys that play in the Power Five.
Give me an idea of the mood in 80,000, either of these countries if one of the teams loses.
They said 80,000 people are going to be at the stadiums, and they'll drink 1.3 million ounces of beer. That's what that
is. I love seeing the shots of the like the big city squares with what looks like tens of thousands of people just sort of sitting there, standing around watching this. and celebrating all at once. Like, that looks like it'd be intoxicating to, you know, be around something like that.
They
just being in the stadium would be one thing, but you'd be out in a crowd. Like Edmonton, like in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Edmonton, they had this big crowd all downtown around this big town square. You think there was anything like that going on in South Florida? I mean, they might have done something inside the arena. There's not enough hockey fans to fill up downtown, well, I would say downtown Sunrise. I was going to say Miami. It's like an hour away from the actual center of population there. But what it'll be like in England if they lose today.
Right. Make sure you have a poncho, because every time England, you know how they throw squids on the ice? If you
yeah,
win.
Yeah, that's Detroit. Octopus.
They throw their beer and you're gonna get soaked. Yeah, it will be you know, the final, this is the Final Four. It's the game to go to the championship. I think it's all in perspective of how the game goes. You know, do you get an own goal? Did you compete? It's kind of all in one. Was it not that it's aesthetically pleasing, but you have to compete and have a chance. You go out there and you fumble one. Pickford, in my opinion, is the most overrated goalkeeper I've ever seen. I mean, just. Do we not have anybody else to play for him? But it just depends on. I mean, it's if you lose 3-0, there's nothing you can do about it. But if it's 1-1 and it goes to penalties, Jason Sudeikis, if Clay would know this, I haven't seen the Ted Lasso. But so last year I was telling you that they played Italy in the last Euros, they lost in penalty kicks. All the guys that missed their penalty kicks, racism, hate mail. I mean, it was out of control. Like, you don't even want to go back to how they act. They take it a little too far, Phil. That's for sure.
Well, they might have set somebody's truck on fire?
Absolutely.
On purpose?
So there was a team in Senegal, and this is two World Cups ago, and one of the players wasn't doing good. So they went and kidnapped his family and had his family kidnapped and said, if you don't win this game, you're not going to get your family. And they won the game.
It's not just a game.
It's weird over there, man. They take it serious. I tell you, the SEC atmosphere, going to see an LSU Florida game or Arkansas Alabama, the Iron Bowl, whatever you want to think it is, it's tenfold over there for this stuff. It's out of control.
Boy, I guess hosting a sports talk show the day after could be really dangerous too. You just open the phones and let them go. They do sports talk radio in Europe. Please tell me they do. They probably do.
They had to, didn't they invent everything?
Either that or they just mirror what we're doing.
They just do it better, yeah.
and in different languages as well.
They have stricter FDA rules, so their food is definitely better.
They could probably say whatever swear word on the radio they want to.
Bollocks.
Ooh, man, you better not say, you drop bloody on an English sportscast, You're paying out of your own pocket for that one.
It's oddly funny. It's got that tide that's got you in this predicament.
You take that bloody bollocks and take it somewhere else. Did I just spend 500,000 lira on? Of course, I don't even know how to speak Italian. Kawhi Leonard's out of the Olympics. Matt, he is.
Excuse me.
Is influenced by the Clippers and Team USA officials after observing training camp. So essentially, Kawhi's own team and the team that he had been assigned to, Team USA, watched him practice and said, no, this ain't going to work.
I was actually surprised, Phil. Kawhi's a dog. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You're picking him first. So you give him the opportunity to come up there. But I was surprised that they did. I get why Grant Hill does it, and it's the right move. I think Kevin Love had to do that the last Olympics. He went there and then... you call somebody up. It's smart because he missed playoff games, man. He could.
Yeah, he missed 12 of their last 14 games with a knee injury.
Kawhi, man, I love you. And if you're not ready, you just can't go. But is he 100%? Is he a top 10 player in the NBA right now? Yes, sir. If he's healthy, he's on the team. He's actually a starter. If he was healthy, Kawhi Leonard would be starting. So I get why you bring him out there, but he's just not right.
Boston guard Derek White replacing him. This does make me wonder, what's the name of the young lady on Team USA who has the knee injury?
Is it
Alicia Gray, I think it is?
I can't remember.
I think it's her. Let's say the same thing happens. You know, and I'm assuming they're practicing now by now. They got to be working out together and everything. You know, what if her knee is not What if the officials look at this and say, yeah, I mean, she doesn't look like she should look right now. At that point, we're going to make a replacement. Then is it Caitlin Clark?
They're not bringing Caitlin Clark to the
Olympics. You don't think it's going to? They made their decision already.
Zero. You'd have to have four of those ladies get hurt. I think they'll keep her on the team and hide her. There's a vendetta against her, or there's a jealousy. There's some. Caitlin Clark should be on the Olympic team. It's a no-brainer talent-wise. She's just as talented. She should be on the Olympic team.
But if they were to say,
look,
Okosie, Alicia Gray can't play right now. We got to take her off the team. We got to go find somebody else. Then you're opening up the whole conversation and controversy all over again from, what was it, 3 weeks ago. And I'm sure that's not the kind of thing that those who are running Team USA want to deal with. In that case, they probably just don't do anything about it. She sits the bench.
That's right. That's what I think. It's a weird setup because they were just too blatant about it. You know, too just like, oh, you know, I don't think they want her on the team.
Certainly seems like that.
She's talented enough. I would have her on the team if you're evaluating talent, and she's a total team player. I mean, I think she's handled herself. Every time I see her in an interview or whenever they're talking about, I think she handles herself with class.
Well, she is the center of basketball.
And she's
good.
That's the whole. It's not. Nobody can question and say she's not a top player. She is. She's the first rookie ever in this league to have a triple double.
Say no more.
I mean, she's. But watch her. She passes the eye test. She's a good locker room guy. I mean, you start thinking of everything. I mean, how would you not want it? But they don't. They've made it clear. So I don't think if somebody got hurt, I don't think they call her.
No, I think you're right. I think the decision was made pretty clearly to not have her on the team for whatever reasons they have for it. If it's jealousy, if it's dislike, if it's not wanting to have any kind of a distraction or turn it into a, you know, a single person's trip to the Olympics. I think you're right. They don't want her on the team maybe under any circumstance right now. 4 years would be a different situation. Should be a different situation. 877-377-6963. If there's anything you want to get in with that, and there are more, I don't know how credible these sources are, but if the conversation in the Big 12 at Media Days right now is about all the change within that league over the last 2 years and how it does look like a stable league right now, what do you think ACC Media Days are going to sound like by the end of the month? We'll get into that in just a moment on Halftime. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com. This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.